Today marks exactly 1 year since the fatal attacks on the Charlie Hebdo offices in Paris. To mark the date, the satirical weekly has published a provocative anniversary edition depicting God as a Kalashnikov-carrying killer, with the headline, 1 year later, the assassin is still on the run. The Vatican newspaper has criticised the move, saying it's woeful and disrespectful to true believers of all faiths. A short time ago, I spoke to journalist Caroline Forest, who has worked for Charlie Hebdo. Well, first of all, Caroline, it's been a year since the Charlie Hebdo attacks. What are your thoughts on this anniversary?
Oh, like everybody around Charlie, and I think more than that, like almost everybody in France, it's a very sad atmosphere. We are missing them so much. They were incredible, brilliant, talented, and funny, and very alive persons.
How is Charlie Hebdo, how are the staff coping, and how are the families of those who were killed coping?
Oh, it's different. Of course, the family are battling and dealing with an incredible pain about their loss. The newspaper is battling too, of course, because they managed to survive. What they have done is already incredible. Charlie Hebdo is not dead.
And what has been the broader impact on society, and particularly attitudes towards satire and media? How have those attitudes been affected in France?
My guess, and I hope that maybe some who in the past didn't understand really, that many changed their mind and realized that it was a necessity, and that that it was not it was not a joke. It was a really responsible, actually, and not the contrary, for Charlie Hebdo to defend this freedom for all. Because once you accept to be submitted to the rule of the fanatics, there is no hope after. You cannot wish, or you cannot think that there will be peace. The killers will always come after you once you resign. And I think people are more and more realizing it, that there is just no way to escape from it. We have to face it.
What about the argument, though, that in such an atmosphere of fear and sadness, it doesn't help to continue to provoke? What do you say to that?
I would say that this argument is actually what is putting us in danger. As long as there is people who don't understand that you cannot stop to speak freely, you cannot stop to debate just because there is fanatics who don't want you to speak, as long as there is people to support this cowardice, they will continue to kill journalists and cartoonists. We are very, very, very happy to have a left and sometimes also right-wing people who can support the Charlie Hebdo spirit, which is to answer to terrorism by sense of humor, by freedom of speech. Again, Charlie Hebdo is a satirical newspaper laughing about all religion. 90% of the time it's about the Catholic Church. And sometimes, because of the actuality, they have to also mock the fanatics who are using religious symbol and Mohammed to kill. If we cannot do that in a country like France, which the democracy in France have been built on this freedom of speech and conscience, then they won't only succeed to kill journalists, they would have succeeded to kill France.
Today, Charlie Hebdo has released an anniversary cover which appears to have a go at basically all religions. It features sort of a pan-religious figure. There's Catholic references, Islamic references, even a reference to the Freemasons. Tell us about this cover and what it was like putting this issue together.
You know, a cartoon is always partly what the cartoonist wanted to do and partly what the people is seeing in it. There is always two or even more versions of a cartoon. This cartoon, from the risk perspective, when you know the codes of Charlie Hebdo, when you know the type of cartoons that risk the cartoonist is making always, you will understand it more easily. It's a very universal God, and you can see that as you want, but from the cartoonist perspective, it's more, let's say it's the God of the fanatics. you can think is whatever you want. It's the god of the fanatics. The god of the fanatics is still responsible of this extremism. Behind that, the question is there any link? Because everybody is telling there is no link between devotion and an extreme passion for religion and fanatism. Charlie Hebdo, as a satirical and atheist newspaper, is just simply asking, 1 year after the slaughter, do you think there is no link between religion and fanatism?
Well, the Vatican has already come out and condemned that front cover, which features this pan-religious figure under the headline, the assassin is still on the run. Is this continuing in the finest tradition of Charlie Hebdo, that already the Vatican has come out and said, we're not okay with your front page?
Yes, it's kind of return to also, yes, definitely the DNA of Charlie Hebdo was always being sued by the Catholic Church and some extremist Catholic groups for blasphemy, which is just sad, not for Charlie Hebdo, but for the Vatican, is that they are still more shocked by cartoons about religion than by people who are killing in the name of religion. What the Pope said after the 7th of January last year, after the slaughter, was just unbelievable. When he said that if someone is insulted, your mother, you have to punch him, you can punch him. It's like justifying violence. And after the killing of cartoonists, because they have been accused of blasphemy by religious extremists, it's the contrary, actually, of Christianism, where you're supposed to be very very kind, even when you are attacked and insulted and etc. I think in that situation last year, Charlie Hebdo has been more Christian than the Vatican itself by publishing a cartoon very sweet of a Mohammed saying everything is forgiven, a Mohammed who were crying actually. And it is Charlie Hebdo is the one who is provoking debate, and probably that the Vatican, it's definitely, sadly, his role to confuse everything.
Caroline, thank you so much for joining us on this first anniversary of the Charlie Hebdo attacks.
Thank you.
French journalist Caroline Forest, who has worked for Charlie Hebdo, and she's the author of In Praise of Blasphemy, Why Charlie Hebdo is Not Islamophobic. Carlos Torna is the executive director of PEN International, an organisation which advocates for writers and also freedom of expression. Carlos, welcome to the show.
Hello, good morning.
Carlos, you were listening to Caroline there. What are your thoughts on Charlie Hebdo's first anniversary edition cover?
Well, first is the memory of the pain, of the deep sadness. As soon as the attacks took place, we went to Paris with the president of PEN International and together with the French writers who are members of PEN, some of them very close to the members of the Charlie Hebdo group. One of our main leaders in France was the lawyer of two of the cartoonists who were killed. And we went to this memorial. So this memory of the improvised memorial of the thousands of people who were going there to the offices of Charlie Hebdo with flowers to mourn and to remember to what extent the core of French society and the core of any free society had been harmed by this terrible crime.
And
this is my first memory today, yes.
1 year later, the cover of Charlie Hebdo, the assassin is still on the run, a religious figure with reference to Islam, to Christianity, to Freemasonry. Does that surprise you? Do you think this is appropriate?
Well, I personally dislike it. I dislike it very much, but I will always defend the right of the cartoonist to provoke me. And in fact, it's to me, it's a complete different reaction from the front page 1 week after the attack with this Mahoma saying everything is pardoned, tout est pardonné, which was for me one of the most moving covers I've ever seen in Charlie Hebdo. So I liked very much what was published 1 year ago. I dislike a lot what is being published today. But I think that this is really the freedom of the cartoonist, of the reader, this is a dialogue of culture, of even the dialogue of religions, which are critical and accept irony and criticism with themselves. And this is really what we are defending, this freedom of writing, of entering dialogue with the readers. And of course, readers can like, can dislike, but they just have to accept the freedom of the artist.
Some chief cartoonists, though, have been, saddened by the Charlie Hebdo attacks so much that they have said they will no longer draw the profit. So it's not a matter of defending their freedom. It's a matter of them basically retiring from that particular area of cartooning. What do you think of that? Is this journalist self-censoring or is this something else?
I don't know, because it's Luth himself. The one who drove this fantastic cover saying "Tu es pardonné," it's Luth himself who decided that he was no more interested. No more interested in drawing the prophet. I would not say it's censorship. I would say or self censorship. I would say that this has been his personal process. But what we have to very strongly tell the French authorities and all authorities in the world is that the climate has to be created for freedom of expression to be part of daily life, for cartoonists, for writers, for anyone to feel free to express himself or herself, and they have to avoid the climate of self-censorship. And also it's important to say that self-censorship, it's not only caused by the attacks, but also by reactions to these attacks by governments, which are promoting surveillance and are promoting intrusion in people's lives through the internet, through communications. And this is really creating a new wave of self-censorship around the world.
Well, you heard what Caroline said there. She was very strongly on the side of no back down. The satirists should be free to say what they say. After the year that France has just had, the attacks on the Charlie Hebdo office, the terror attacks, the murders, the months of mourning, do you agree with her?
Yes, I agree with her. And I think that on the right to freedom of expression has to be balanced with something which is part of, PEN International, our organization. Today we are 30,000 writers, bloggers, journalists, poets, novelists around the world in more than 100 countries. We were founded in 1921, and our founders defended freedom of expression in all cases in a radical manner. But at the same time, they said that we have to defend the mutual understanding and respect of peoples. So this balance between the respect of the other, the respect of the belief of the other, of the memory of the other, and the complete right to freedom of expression, this balance has to be kept in all situations. And this is really how we are struggling in the different countries to promote both peace, mutual understanding, and freedom of expression.
Another country in the EU, a number of high-profile MPs have supported a popular petition to ban Donald Trump from the UK, following his comments last month suggesting a ban on Muslims entering the United States, which the petitioners categorise as hate speech. Does this tell us something about the difference between American and European perspectives on free speech? And do you think Donald Trump should be allowed to enter the UK?
I think I'm not going to enter into the debate directly, because I'm not citizen of the UK or the United States. I really think that these debates have to take place in every national context. And we have to be aware that many of the debates we are living today is because this hate speech debates are deterritorialized. They happen in the United States, they happened in Paris, they happen all over, but they are transferred from one country to the other. And what we defend is that in each country, according to each cultural context, according to each religious context, these debates have to take place. In PEN International, we don't have all of us the same position in all cases. So the reaction to the same debate in New York, in Paris, in Bamako, in Istanbul can be very different. And we really defend the need of promoting the debate. So I welcome the initiative in the UK because it's part of the debate that needs to take place in front of any proposal, like the proposals of Donald Trump. But I think that it's the debate which has to be promoted and the decisions which have to be taken according to the law in each country.
Carlos Torna, thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you to you. It's been a pleasure.
Carlos Torna is the Executive Director of PEN International.